Welcome to the Deadite Bites podcast. We are covering the show Ash vs. Evil Dead. This is a No Ship Network podcast. I'm your host, Steve.
I'm your host, Em.
And I'm your host, Paul.
All right. This show has been like the last five or six Christmases and birthdays all wrapped up with one big bloody bow. I think every horror movie fan has been waiting for this. Every horror movie fan with discerning taste, I will say. If you like the horror, if you like the comedy, if you like the two mixed in with a little bit of raciness, this is the show. I can hear the collective like
cheer.
Yeah, thank you from all the horror fans across the globe. This is a 100% winner. I cannot say enough good stuff about the show. I was completely floored. I loved it from A to Z. I have nothing bad to say about it. So this is a good test
because 15 minutes into it, I was watching it with my wife, and she was even like, "How are they going to be able to keep this up for a whole season?" So that's impressive. I mean, you know, that's like when you're thinking that in the first 15, 20 minutes, it's awesome.
When he continued to have sex with that woman, I knew that we were on the right track.
All right. So here we have Ash versus Evil Dead, Season 1, Episode 1, El Jefe, which in Spanish means the pilot. No, it doesn't really. It means the boss. Okay, just a little bit of the technical stuff. Sam Raimi here is credited as creator, executive producer, and director of at least episode one. I think he only directed episode one. Ivan Raimi, his brother, obviously co-executive producer. Robert Tapper, executive producer. Bruce Campbell, executive producer. And music, once again, by the wonderful Joe LaDuca. So here we have all the people who are responsible for the original trilogy of Evil Dead stuff. Xena and Spartacus. So right there, just by looking at the A-list of talent that's behind the scenes on this thing, you know it's going to be good before they even shoot a second of film.
And you could tell just on the way it goes that it was like a major labor of love. I mean, it was beautiful.
Yeah, it's over the top in the best way possible. So obviously Ash is reprising his role as Bruce Campbell is reprising his role as Ash, or Ashley J. Williams, to his mother. Some of the new people we've never seen before. Amanda Fisher is played by Jill Marie Jones. And I believe she was on, what show did you say?
She's in Sleepy Hollow.
Sleepy Hollow. Okay, I didn't IMDb everybody, but some of the people. Pablo is played by Ray Santiago. Kelly by Dana DeLorenzo. And Ruby by the beautiful Lucy Lawless. So, okay, now that that's out of the way, let's just jump right into the recap. So The first thing you see is Ash girdling himself up. Now, this was all in the preview, so we've seen it a few times already, but it was like an extended scene of it for people who've watched the preview a dozen times like we have, and it wasn't any less funny. I mean, he is just struggling to get into that goddamn thing, and the noises he makes, he's just like,
And they make you believe that it's to go fight or something, like, oh, I'm getting ready to get down, and whoa. We were wrong.
He's jumping around like a school kid, and he's got his little sippy juice box of, what is it, high C?
Yeah, high C.
But what he's got on looks downright medieval.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he took that with him from his Army of Darkness days.
That's what I'm hoping.
Yeah.
The hand, too.
Well, that was carved in Italy, as he said. So anyway.
Supposedly.
Supposedly, yeah. Just like the rest of the story, it's probably bullshit. Uh-huh. He probably got it at Value Stop. So he gets all hyped up. He tells his lizard that he's going to, you know, to wish him luck for the night. And he heads out the door. He grabs his hand almost as an afterthought. And he just heads down the road once again in the 1973 Delta 88 Oldsmobile. Who knows if this is the same exact vehicle? I've read some stuff online where somebody said it has to be different because there's a brown stripe down it. I wasn't paying that close attention to it because I was so caught up in the moment. Even on the second watch, I didn't really check to see if it was, you know, that. But
I mean, it's possible that they put it in storage.
Yeah. I mean, it's possible that it's actually Sam Raimi's car. But at the same time, how much money would he have had to sunk into that thing to get it from how it looked at the end of Evil Dead to this? And yes, I'm sorry, at the end of Army of Darkness to the end of this. And yes, Army of Darkness did happen. We will address that later. I know this is a question and a concern for some people, but we'll get there when
totally
we get there.
Oh, it totally happened.
Yeah, but you'll see what I'm talking about later on. Okay. But he drives to a bar. I believe it's called the Woodsman.
Mm-hmm.
And there's two axes crossed in the background. And then as he gets out, it's in, you know, just a shitty industrial part of town, wherever, whatever town he's living in. And
somewhere in Michigan.
Yeah, one in Michigan. There's a lot of shitty towns in Michigan. No offense. There's a lot of nice towns in Michigan, too.
Like, spoken by someone like, who's never been to
hey,
the
I've
state.
Hey, I've seen movies all my life, all right? So you can see ammo in the background. Anyway, so he gets in there, and he plies his trade. The bartender tells him that it's, you know, hey, we only have 10 minutes until we're closed. He's like, oh, I'm well aware of the time.
So and, we're supposed to believe that all this happens within 10 minutes, too, everything that takes place. Because the guys are still playing pool when they're in the bathroom fucking.
Well, it could just be last call in 10 minutes. And then you've got another like 30, 40 minutes to finish your drink. And then the bar will close. Yeah. So it could just be a last call, 15 minutes. So get him in while you can. Which is totally planned by him. Because it's easiest to go to a bar at that time of night and pick up a woman.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking too. I'm thinking last call is in 10 minutes. Because, you know, closing time is a very fluid thing for bars.
When he just said last call, I mean, that's what they call it.
Maybe. Yeah. What did he say? We're closing?
He said we're closing in 10 minutes. I think it's just showing his confidence about his ability to pick up women. I mean, clearly he knew what he was doing. He ordered her two drinks before she even turned and looked at him.
Well, I mean, that's one way to do it.
Yeah, he's, you know, Ash is good at two things, that and fighting deadites. That's it, you know. Not everybody can be a jack of all trades and be good at a lot of stuff. So there he is. Those are his two gifts. So yeah, it could have potentially happened in that 10 minutes. But the more important thing here is that it did happen. He spins a bullshit story about saving a kid from, you know, train tracks and talks about his rosewood hand that was crafted by Italian artisans and all this other bullshit. So the next thing you know, they're in the bathroom. And this scene is fucking great. This is... Oh, man, when he's smacking her ass with the hand and asking her, do you like my wood?
Yeah. once he said 8-year-old boy is when her hand went to her tank top strap and she started already to pull it over to the side.
He knows what he's doing, you know? Ash is going to town and this chick turns around and she's a deadite all of a sudden. And she's like, we're coming for you. And then he backs up and... A nice little.
Well, she goes like, I'm coming, and then turns around, we're coming for you. So it's like, holy fuck. It's awesome.
I like how he says, oh, this hasn't happened to me in 30 years. Like he couldn't get it up. You know what I mean? Like it's an erectile dysfunction problem. He's like, oh, this hasn't happened to me in 30 years, I promise. But like Em said earlier, the funniest part of the scene and what really, really hooks you into the show is when he just keeps going. He's like, all right, let's go.
Oh, and then he's leaving the bar, and he looks like, oh, I shouldn't have done that, you know. He looked a little ashamed, in my opinion, just a pinch.
He was
ashamed and a little worried.
Definitely worried, because it was a contrast to his arrival, because when he arrives, he's driving with verve and spunk with one hand on the wheel with the Deep Purple song playing. And then when he's leaving, he's got both hands on the wheel, like safety driving. He looks worried, and he's singing the songs without the background soundtrack by himself. He's just like, what was it?
Let's go space trucking.
Yeah, well, yeah, that. So, anyway. So, definitely, it was a contrast to his arrival. So, he's frightened.
He knows what's up. He knows something is wrong. He knows he fucked up because nothing bad ever happens in Ash's world without it being his fault, essentially, at some point. I mean, think of it. He was the one who had to play the tape in the basement. He was the, you know... He's the one who couldn't say the three goddamn words right, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, if that... This part in the bathroom sold M on the show. This is what really sold me on the show because he gets to the house, he pulls out the Necronomicon, and he sees that it's intact in one piece and still in his possession. And then you see a baggie sticking out of it, and it's weed. And it's a flashback to when he's with this woman who he's trying to seduce, and she's talking about liking French poetry. So he says, check this out. And yeah. I mean, it's making – like the Necronomicon has never been funny until now.
Yeah.
He's like, look at this. The pages are inked in blood. Let's try some of this poetry out. And these two high idiots are reciting poetry from the Book of the Dead.
When I saw it, it was like, that's genius.
And then they just focus in on him, and he's like, fuck. And then it goes to credits. Perfect. I mean, the show could have ended there for the first episode, and I would have been sold hook, line, and sinker. So.
And they had that time warp callback too.
Oh yeah, yeah. When they
spinner.
When it spins around like the portal to the other dimension. Okay, so our next scene is two Michigan State Patrol officers Fisher and Carson pull up to a house where apparently there's been calls by the neighbors that something odd is going on. And they go in with guns drawn. And first they find a frozen stiff body, and which is pretty creepy.
It creeped me out.
Yeah, I mean, that was some good effects right there.
Well, and they don't linger on it. It's just a quick flash to it. So you're like, whoa, what the fuck?
Yeah. It entices you rather than just like pushing it in your face and going, oh, this is our centerpiece of scariness. We're going to make you stare at it for 5 minutes.
Well, this whole scene really made good use of light and shadow. Well, the quick illuminations help to amplify what you're seeing in a quick, impactful way. Makes it more creepy because then suddenly they're hidden again. With the use of the flashlight spinning, and then when all the shutters start shutting, and even bullet holes with lights coming through, it was really, really cool to see.
That's a really good point. That part escaped me. That went totally over my head because I was just focused on the meat and potatoes horror element of it. But it now that I'm thinking about it, they did use that to really good effect.
Yeah.
So then they find Ash's liaison or girlfriend, I guess we could say, for lack of
whatever
a better term.
She was.
Whatever she was. And we only know her by the tattoo on her arm. She's hiding under a sheet, which I thought this was really cool, too, because you're fully expecting it to be some sort of deadite ghoul underneath the sheet. And it's just this normal girl. And she's shit. And then they bring on the deadite. And that was some of the coolest shit I've ever seen, when the head turns around.
And then the arms. Oh, my God. I know.
And she's,
it was like hands in the air. Yes.
She's kicking ass backwards. You know what I mean? She's like punching people backwards. You could see it in the way that her body turns.
And it was so gory, too. It was just like, oh, God dang. I mean, it was really well done.
I felt like this was a really good mix, just from a horror fan's perspective, of the older style of very practical effects and, you know, CGI stuff. So... Mm-hmm. I know some people had some quibbles when Carson's head gets blown off by Fisher, that the CGI was a little bit too much. But Em brought up
a
good
point. Are you
serious?
People complained about that.
There's I've seen it in a couple different places, but it reminds me of Spartacus, and these are creators of Spartacus, and that actor was in Spartacus.
I mean, this is a TV show for one thing. You got to keep that in mind. And this scene alone had more horror, gore. And just the way they filmed it was better than that whole new Poltergeist movie that came out this year. So whoever's complaining really need to sit down and just kind of like put everything into perspective.
Well, we'll address that in feedback.
All right.
Who was the Spartacus actor? Carson?
Carson was in Spartacus.
He was in the Ludus?
Yes, he was.
See, I don't recognize any of these guys when they have shirts on. That's the thing. Who was he?
So no wild guesses you guys want to throw it out there?
He was...
He had a significant role.
Was he
Tommy Gunn?
Was he a Roman soldier?
Huh?
Was he a Roman soldier?
No.
He was the guy that Alethea wanted to hook up with.
The horse cock guy. Segafax.
Oh, he was Segafax?
Really?
No, I was thinking...
Guy.
Yeah, okay.
Alethea
I was thinking of somebody else.
Alethea did want to hook up with him, and she was responsible for his death.
You're right, but
the one that they cut the schlong off of?
Yep.
Yeah. While we're on this point, this was filmed... This is set in Michigan. Lovely, lovely Michigan. And but it was filmed in Auckland, New Zealand.
Oh,
so
wow.
That's why, I mean, you could tell Carson has an accent and he's kind of trying to hold it in. I don't think he did a bad job, but I just, maybe I have an ear for that or something. I can hear when people are, but.
And if y'all are wondering why we're talking about Spartacus, we also do a podcast called Thrace Relations. And if you check that out, it all kind of ties in together.
Yeah, full circle. If I had seen the guy with no pants on, I would have been like, Segafax, there he is, you know, but fully clothed, he's just a Michigan State Police guy via Auckland, New Zealand. But anyway, I felt like this was a good, like Paul was saying, it's a good mix of effects between the old and the new. So anybody who doesn't gel with the CGI, I kind of get you if you're doing it purely from a principal standpoint, but just from an enjoyment standpoint, it still works. So
well,
just go with
you've
it.
Got a budget, for Christ's sake. And I just thought it was an all around, like Em said, a really well done and beautiful, like long extended cut of an awesome horror house in the middle of a TV show. I thought it was amazing.
What I mean, it's scarier than anything that I've seen on American Horror Story or Walking Dead or whatever other horror shows are out there right now that I may or may not have seen. But
well,
I'm
it's
just
the first episode. The Walking Dead have a huge budget now.
Yeah, well, Let me just say about these people who have complained, they're just complained that about that specific
that
CGI,
one headshot, right?
Not the whole scene. Just
okay.
that
okay,
headshot.
Wonderful.
So, you know.
I thought it was good.
I enjoyed it myself. It wasn't believable,
but I didn't mind it.
Yeah, it wasn't believable, but it's just like a lot of the violence in Spartacus. It's very unbelievable, but it's stylized and it's beautiful to look at. Next scene, we get Ash waking up and well, I'm sure he's already awake, but he comes out of his little streamlined trailer and he calls a man named Lionel Hawkins that he sees from a card. This guy has a store apparently called Books from Beyond. And he makes an appointment at some indeterminate time in the future to come and talk to him about translations.
He probably has the never ending story there.
Oh, yeah.
That
well, that's
guy.
Like our Hermione Granger character. You know, he's going to be all of our information that we need to move on.
Yeah. Our
Giles?
No, Penny Dreadful.
Oh.
Bob and Dresden Files?
Lyle.
Lyle. That's it. Yeah. Bob from Dresden Files. Lyle from Penny Dreadful. We haven't seen this guy yet, and we're already pegging him, but he's going to have to provide some info because...
You might be pegging him.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Bad choice of words. I'm backing that one out. I'm going to back that out slowly. So he goes over to his older neighbor, Vivian, who obviously has a, you know, an age-inappropriate crush on Ash.
Now, quick question, man. Instantly, do y'all just look at that woman and think Deadeye even before they put the makeup on her? Was it just me?
Yes, and it's interesting because later on when she is a Deadeye, he can't tell she's a Deadeye right away.
Because no. He calls her, he's like, Vivian?
Yeah. So she hasn't really changed that much.
Poor lady.
It's really just her eyes. You know, that's, yeah. I mean, she got a job for that. She was cast for that. I don't feel bad.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It was perfect. Hell no. She got to be in it. I would have played that part if they paid me.
Yeah. So he's in typical asshole Ash fashion. He's like, hey, can you do a few things around my, you know, trailer because I'm about to leave town? No heavy lifting or anything. Just clean the whole goddamn place and take care of the waste bucket, you know.
And he gives her those gloves and he's like, now really get in there. You know?
Declog it.
Do a good job.
When he walks away, I like how... you can hear the wind blow, and you hear his name on the wind, which is why he turns back around. And mm-hmm. then he goes back and sees that she's turned into a Deadeye.
Ah, see? I didn't catch that. That's cool. That's really cool. And then, so here we have the second Deadeye warning. And he decides, okay, well, it's time to, you know. And this is also the second time that there's been a Deadeye underneath a sheet or behind a sheet. Because there was the one at the house and the one here. Huh. So I don't know if there's any significance to that or it's just a coincidence, but... S-Mart has now become Value Stop. This is all going to tie in later. Apparently, they didn't get the rights from Universal to use any of the material from Army of Darkness. So, and you know, somebody else had said something about this on IMDb. There was a little thread I was reading earlier and they were saying, hey, you know, S-Mart could have turned into Value Stop. Value Stop could have bought S-Mart. Who knows? Who knows? So,
I mean, it's one of those facts that's like, okay.
Yeah.
It's feasible.
It's not stumbly at all to me. It doesn't make a difference. You know, he works.
I mean, he did kill a bunch of people at the end of Army of Darkness in S-Mart. So maybe he lost his job and had to go to Value Smart.
And the whole chain went.
Crumbled.
Well, he just couldn't work at the one in that particular town. So he had to go to their competitor, which would have been Value Stop.
Exactly.
We could do it that way.
Well, and he's living in an Airstream. He could have moved to another town.
True.
So there's all kinds of like explanations.
So Ash tries to get out of work in typical Ashley J. Williams style, saying that his friend is sick and he needs to go take care of his friend. And yeah, can I go ahead and get paid right now? And he's like, the guy's like, are you really fucking going to use your lizard as an excuse to try to get out of work? And he's like, yeah, I'm going to do that.
Don't you guys think this guy does such a good job as Mr. Roper?
Well, here's the thing, though. He looks familiar.
He does.
And he's got a creepy-ass voice.
Yeah.
A creepy voice.
And it's also the way his teeth come down together, I think, and hearing the voice while you're looking at his teeth.
Mm-hmm.
Not that there's anything wrong with his teeth. It's just some sort of edge-to-edge bite or something that's going on.
It's almost like he's working for the Deadites, keeping an eye on Ash, and that's why he looks all demonic and shit. I don't know what it is, but there's definitely more to his character. Because it looks like they really look for the right person to play the part, not just some schmo.
Well, I think he's a product of Ash. I mean, he's grimacing, and what a shitty coworker Ash is. You know, well, he's working hard to not work.
And a really shitty subordinate, because this guy's his boss, but you've already figured out that he can't fire Ash because of his level of seniority.
Right.
How he attained that, we have no goddamn idea. Because when we talk to Pablo here in a second, he's talking about, oh, you know, when you don't show up at all, or when you take your naps, or when you're doing something stupid. So
I'm not trying to take up for the guy, but that would be shitty if you were stuck with someone in a position. I mean, you would become a bent, pissed off person over time if you were working with people who were slacking, cutting corners. You know what I mean? That's what you would turn into.
It's actually like my job.
I was going to say the exact same thing. Paul and I can actually sympathize with this literally.
Literally.
We have nobody as cool as Ash working for us, but we have people with his work ethic, for lack of a better term.
Exactly.
So the boss Roper tells him to move some light bulbs, and he immediately drops the box.
Yeah, like the whole thing just pours out.
They're open at the top or something.
Yeah, and this is, I'm assuming that this scene right here is going to be the first of many homages to the Three Stooges. Because this is Three Stooges all the way through.
Played perfectly by Bruce Campbell.
Well, I fell for Ash. I've worked at a bar and had to move some beer once. And I did almost the same thing and dropped like almost a full case of beer. And it was like, oh, fuck. And I wanted to do like he did, just kind of push it under some stairs. Like, but everybody heard me and saw me. We weren't even open.
That
yet,
would
so
be
it was
loud.
Like, fuck.
Yeah.
Oh, it was awful and messy, you know. So I fell for Ash a little bit. You know, I get it.
So now we're introduced to Pablo, who is a really likable character. I like this guy. You know,
you mean Kramer Jr., right?
Kramer Jr. with that hair, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, more like Ben Stiller Jr. He was in Meet the Fockers.
What? Oh, that's right.
And then he was in Dexter, too, but I can't recall. Somebody named Javier.
Probably a victim. I mean, come on. If you're in Dexter and you're not a major character, you're usually a victim. All right. Yeah. But anyway, I like this guy. He's likable right off the bat. So he's a coworker who apparently really looks up to Ash and wants to grill some turkey burgers while they watch Monday Night Raw. Or was
what
it
is that?
Monday Nitro? One of the two. It's a wrestling show.
Okay.
I can't remember which one it was, but it's a Monday
WWF.
Night
WWF.
We have a hint at some hidden background of him in Honduras.
Yeah. Supposedly he's from Jersey, but then he lets it slip that he's from Honduras.
Yeah.
So that's going to come back. Guarantee it. Okay, and then very quickly from here, we're introduced to the second character of our, you know, the beginning trio, who's Kelly, who apparently lives above Pablo in his apartment complex, I'm assuming, and he just got her the job, and she's over there on aisle 3 and checking somebody out, and Ash is checking her out. I think he calls her disgusting or something.
Filthy.
Filthy, yeah.
Filthy, yeah.
And it's just...
Oh, and that guy Pablo is obviously like ultra in love. He's like, she haunts my dreams. No, she doesn't. Yes, she does.
But she does. Yeah, she does.
And unlike Pablo, she hides nothing. And she most likely has taken self-defense classes.
Yeah, she...
and practices.
This scene made me laugh out loud. Because when he goes over to her and he lays on the really corny joke about, you should thank your mom for me for passing down those jeans. And she's like, my mom died in a car wreck 6 months ago. And he's instead of being like, oh, shit, he's like, oh, hey, don't do that. Next time, just say thank you and move on. You know, that was hilarious.
He's like, tells her not, just don't be rude about it.
See that approach. You never, because it always stops people up short. And they're like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. You know, that's the way we play it in modern movies. But Ash isn't having any of it. He's like, hey, don't be a fucking bitch, all right? I was trying to comment.
Well, he's also patronizing. He's like, I know you're young still, and you haven't learned yet like us older people.
Yeah. total dick move.
Yeah.
Like, you've got a lot to learn. So just watch what you say.
See, he can only make friends with these young people. People who are his age, like Mr. Roper, not friends with. Because he can't be patronizing to them.
See, he's a natural-born leader. He just doesn't want to recognize it. Because that's...
You know.
But I think true leaders probably
But he's also a pig.
yeah. True leaders probably can get along with people their own age and relate to them in a appropriate manner. Whereas Ash seems to only be able to be... He doesn't... Boundaries aren't his thing, but...
I mean, he'd be a great leader if you liked the groping, arrogant, you know, qualities he's got to him. But when it comes down to it, you can't count on him. You just got to kind of get stabbed in the shoulder and almost get killed for him to do anything.
So he strokes her face with the wooden hand, which is funny enough in and of itself. Just thinking of it right now, I'm cracking up. And she like just totally turns it around on him and smashes his face down into the thing. And then they go into this thing about where you're going to have to get another wooden hand if you try that again. And he's like, what do you mean? Like, one to replace the one you're going to break or one to replace the one I already have?
Then she's like, ugh.
Like, you're so thick, awesome. You don't even get the threat that I'm trying to give you, you know, when I...
We are covering three shows now that have characters with prosthetic hands.
Really?
Yep.
Okay, this one?
This one, Count Odo.
Count Odo.
Vikings, and then the constable, I can't remember his last name, I know his first name is Bartholomew.
Rusk. Bartholomew Rusk from the Great Penny Dreadful.
Yep.
Awesome.
Nice.
And a one-armed man in... Sparkwood 21.
Right.
You know, Ash gets his comeuppance in this scene, obviously. So I like Kelly as a character. There's a lot of good females in this show. A lot of really strong female characters that don't take any shit. All right. So anyway, speaking of strong female characters, Amanda's hanging out at a diner. She's not feeling too strong, but I think she's holding up pretty well. You know, she's under internal affairs investigation for, you know, because they probably think that she shot Carson. And, you know, some other state troopers come in and sit down to eat, and they're just not giving her the time of day. And I don't know if the guy who's pouring her coffee is her dad, her uncle, just a friend, whatever. They don't really establish a relationship, but they know each other fairly well because he feels like he can give her a little bit of fatherly advice, you know. And she looks around the room and she sees a little girl and she sees a deadite face on the girl, which was kind of creepy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't
get, well, yeah.
I mean I'm a diehard horror fan and it takes a little bit to creep me out, but that face was really creepy, and the fact that they underplayed it. And I think it served the show because when the girl turns to look at her, because Amanda's basically staring at her, she doesn't like give her an evil eye and be like, yeah, bitch, I'm a scary little girl. She just kind of like looks at her like you would naturally look at somebody you don't know and then quickly turn away.
Well, she gives her a little mm-hmm. smile and she looks really cute.
Yeah, it's a natural reaction. You know, there's mm-hmm. there's no anything behind it. And now we have Lucy Lawless playing Ruby.
Who's dressed really sultry for a diner.
Yeah. She is. She's a little overdressed for a diner. You're right. And she turns and lets her know, you know, well, Amanda says, she asks her if something's wrong with her. And she says, well, I thought I saw something, but I'm not sure if I did. And she's like, well, maybe sometimes what you see is what you see, and then leaves.
And I'm wondering, why didn't Amanda not follow her outside? Be like, wait a minute. Let's have a conversation.
She's already kind of like second guessing herself. So she's not going to go and approach somebody. I wouldn't. It would just be like, you know, you're trying to take everything in and not think that you're going crazy, you know?
She's still in shock.
Exactly. And something we didn't bring up earlier, when she goes into that house with her partner, the first thing the deadites say to her, isn't it, we know who you are? And it
yes.
takes her back a little bit. So
what does that mean? You know what I mean? What the hell are they talking about? So this is going to be something cool to unfold. This show
maybe
is...
that's why Ruby was sitting there, because she knows something about her, too.
Ah.
Maybe it's her guardian. We don't know.
Huh. Interesting. See, this show is working on a few different levels. This is just not a comedy horror show. It's not going to... They really approach this with some thought and some verve. You know, it doesn't feel like they said, all right, we're going to throw in some deadites, and then we're going to have Ash say, give me some sugar baby and Yoshi bitch, and rattle off a bunch of one-liners and then be done. Definitely he has the one-liners. Definitely you have the deadites, but there's more to it, and that's what's going to make it work in the end.
Exactly.
So back at the value stop, Ash is in the back trying to get these light bulbs together because Mr. Roper wants them up there, you know, front and center, and then the lights turn out, and... Long story short, Ash is attacked by a little doll with some seriously sharp fucking teeth. This scene had Army of Darkness written all over it.
Absolutely.
It reminded me of the little mini Ashes in the windmill.
Exactly.
But it also...
And also the false Necronomicons that were flying at him, too.
Oh, yeah.
Also, it had a little bit of Evil Dead, too, like when he's fighting with his hand. And the hand is smashing all the crockery on his face.
Yeah, because he's having to take the terracotta pots and
smash
them on the
exactly,
doll.
Exactly. So it had a callback to, you know, a good little bit of Evil Dead history right here. And this doll is just, ridiculous. I mean, he gets on the floor. He's like, I hate you. And starts yelling at him. I'm like, what the hell?
Little Laura Lay hates you. I know. For whatever she was saying.
I was waiting for the rest of them to come alive and him just get mauled. But one was enough.
He was about to. She had that box cutter and she was about to shank him. He was scared. Now, I almost thought for a minute that he was going to do the stupid move and try to step on her and get it right through his boot. But then Pablo just mashes her with the shovel.
And she's full of blood.
Yeah, she had blood. What
she
the
cracked
hell?
Like an egg, a bloody egg.
I thought it was awesome. Wait, when you're possessed by a demon and you're a doll, you fill up with blood. How many Chucky movies have we seen now?
Hey, they use white also in Evil Dead, we've seen. Mm. So white couldn't have been white stuff.
Well, now they don't have to worry about
that. Yeah, they don't have to worry about
that's
that.
That's true.
Now the money comes to them, not the other way around. The tables have turned. Because of people like us in the world who grew up with this stuff, now the studio executives go, okay, how many episodes do you want? How much money do you need? I'm sure it's not that simple, but it's a lot easier for them to do. And they can they could do Red if they want to, damn it. So here we get a really cool scene where Ash just kind of spills the beans on who he is and a little bit about his past, and you get a cool montage of some of the scenes from Evil Dead 1. Pointedly and obviously, you don't see any scenes from Evil Dead 2 or Army of Darkness. And from what I've read, this is because Universal hasn't given them the rights to use stuff from Army of Darkness. So when he tells Pablo, I've never told anybody what I'm about to tell you, it's not technically true, because at the end of Army of Darkness, which did happen, people are speculating that it may not have happened in this world. But Campbell, Raimi, and Tappert have said, oh, yes, it has happened, but we just don't have the rights to pull from that and do anything with it. So, they had their original ending to Army of Darkness, and they had to shoehorn in the ending that we do get with Ash at S-Mart killing people and, you know, the whole nine yards. So the best way to look at this scene is a substitute for that scene. Just erase mm-hmm. that scene and put this scene over it. This is the first time that he's telling anybody. So instead of telling the shemp of Ted Raimi about what happened, he's telling Pablo. So, and then Pablo brings up that he could be the El Jefe that his brujo uncle was talking about. So we go for Ash doesn't want to hear any of it, and he's deciding to run from his problems. So he gets back into the 1973 Oldsmobile and hauls ass.
You think he would have learned by now that you can't run from this? He's tried running, and it never works. You know, it always catches up to him.
Yeah, I mean, you went to 1300 AD, you did what you did, then you were able to get sent back by Spinach Chin, and they still found you. So, but it's, once again, it's his fault. So he has to, he should just realize it, because he's Ash and he's always going to fuck up on some level, so they're always going to find him.
I mean, did it cross your guys' mind that he might not be El Jefe? That he could be correct?
No.
All right, let's entertain.
It seems like the Deadites are really intent on Kelly.
Let's entertain the notion. What are you thinking?
I just noticed that the Deadites seem to be going after Kelly.
Hmm.
She could be the key, but I don't know. Maybe I'm arrogant like Ash. I think it's him. I think she might be the... it's possible it's her, but I don't know. I think it's Ash. I do.
I hadn't considered that perspective on this, but I'm willing to. We'll see how it, obviously we'll see how it
throwing it out there.
Unfolds.
We'll see if it sticks. It might not.
Speaking of Kelly, she's talking to her dad. I'm guessing that's a FaceTime. I don't know. I don't have an iPhone. I have an Android, so I'm not sure what that is. But it looks like, they're talking to each other. I understand that's an app to where you can talk to people, but it's only on.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So whether it's FaceTime or not, she's talking to her dad and he's freaking out. Because there's a bunch of stuff that's going on in the house that reminds him of her mother that's passed away 6 months ago. And then he turns the phone around and she can see her coming in the door.
Mm-hmm.
So she freaks out and Pablo says, I'm going to take you to your dad's house. We're going to get to the bottom of this. But they got to go through the Mr. Roper first.
And that's why, because Pablo says to Ash, like, don't you see all this stuff's happening around you, but yet we see it's happening in Kelly's home life. And as far as we know...
Well, not just Kelly, the state trooper also. You could also put the same thing to her. She could be
El Jefe. She could. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
I thought they went after Kelly because she works with Ash. That's the only reason why I thought they went after her.
The girl who was in that house that the state trooper went to was the one that was with Ash when they opened up, when he was reading the book to her. So that's actually more associated with Ash.
Well, see, that's how I thought about Kelly, though, is that because he works with her, it's just another way to keep him where he's at so they can get to him.
Yeah, and I guess they...
You know, to slow him down.
They know to, I think, to try to manipulate him is to go after the females around him.
And we're just peeling the onions back.
So we get
it worked in Army of Darkness and in the other two movies.
You're right.
Yeah, true. You found me beautiful once. So we get the, as they're trying to get on the bike and get it to run, she's not having any luck, but Pablo does. And after he has a little face-off with the boss, and we get the return of the Ramo cam, but it looks like there's a little bit of CGI with it this time. Like before, it was all practical effect. Now it's going through that window. And there's, if I'm not mistaken, there was like a kid in a car seat or something that it goes past and it comes out the other side.
Yeah, and it goes after Mr. Roper, right?
Yeah, it looks like it's going to go right into him. So I don't think we've seen the last of him. Because this isn't going to be isolated like it was in the other movies to where...
No, there's a hell mouth now.
pretty much. So Amanda, I think she's taking Ruby's words of wisdom to heart. You know, what you see is what you see sometimes. And it's not your mind playing tricks on you. It's what actually is there. And she goes back to the crime scene and she sees a bit of Carson's shirt that's been left on the antlers that he was impaled on, letting her know she's not crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So Pablo and Kelly arrive at Ash's trailer to convince him that he should help them. And, you know, Pablo's telling her this is the only guy who could do it. And then they come in the house and she's basically like, this fucking idiot. We're screwed. That's it, you know. And he's like, oh, don't worry, sister. I'm not going to stick my neck out for you or anybody else. But
he changes out his denture. And the denture that was in the cup was dirty, the one he traded it in. Because it looked like there was some grime on it. Anyway, moving on.
All right. The Deadites attack, and Ash finally realizes there is no running from who he is. The Chosen One has returned. So they just start battering the streamlined trailer and everybody's freaking out. And it's a really cool way to end the show because this is what pulls, like you guys were just talking about just a second ago, it's always a damsel in distress that pulls Ash from his like self-centered asshole mode into, you know, let's be the helper. And when that Deadite has her pinned to the wall and, you know, Pablo can't do anything about it because those things are super strong. He just hurls that axe and cuts the arm off and then it's on from there.
Yeah.
I just want to put on the record I was annoyed that Kelly was smitten with him.
Well, I mean, it's Ash. Come on.
I know.
I mean, I understand where you're coming from, but that's his character.
I'm just putting it on the record that it annoyed me.
Well, it's not like, I don't think she'll ever do anything with him. I think it's going to be one of those kind of love-hate.
Yeah.
It also helps the joke from earlier because he goes, see, I told you, you'd at least consider it. And she's like, oh, God.
So she considers it before he becomes, before he makes it known that he's like, hey, I realize that you're considering it right now. And then she's like, oh, Jesus Christ, you just ruined the moment. You could see it on her face. So yeah, maybe it's a little bad that she did. It could be seen as a little bit disappointing. I understand where you're coming from. But she turns it around because once he's like a little bit too self-aware of it for her taste, I think. So anyway, they start the fighting and everything, and he gets the shotgun rolling. He's got it in a little stash spot in the floor, and he hits it with. So, you know, he's a lazy piece of crap most
of
the time.
He's done some preparation.
Yeah, he has done some preparation, which I don't blame him. If I had been through, I mean, imagine the level of PTSD that you've probably had to go through.
Probably when he first moved into that Airstream 30 years ago is when he did that preparation.
I know.
Lucky that all the hinges aren't rusty.
But so he decides what he's got to do, and what he gets to do involves a chainsaw. So he goes to get the chainsaw, and this is what we were talking about earlier. He peels the curtain back, and Vivian's standing there, and he's like, Vivian?
Which is a callback to the last time he pulled back the sheet when she was behind it and she
was
a Deadite.
Yeah. See, so it's Deadites behind the sheets all day long. That's three times. Three
theme
times.
Of the episode.
But him and his reunion with the chainsaw is not going to be so hasty as all that. She basically proceeds to kick everybody's ass for a couple minutes.
Oh, dude. She stabs little Kramer. I mean, she's like pinning people down, you know, and they're all like, oh. And then poor guy like wiggles it with his foot. And kicks it off. It's like, why don't you just pull the knife out? and throw it. You know, why are you leaving the knife in? Chainsaws are heavy.
I know, and it was just like barely on the tip of his toe. He didn't really have much purchase to really be able to kick it.
Yeah, because
I loved
but
it.
I didn't care.
But the jump that Ash did through the air, I mean, it looked like a comic book come to life. He just floats into the air. You don't even see him push off. Like there's
and
no
Vivian's
there's no...
launch also, like when she runs up the wall. And
oh, she does parkour.
Yeah, yeah, but I mean,
parkour granny right there. That was awesome, and it was all slow mo and stuff.
With the music, it was almost like
it was wonderful.
You have the scene where he's having sex with a woman in the bar, and then he decides to finish despite the deadite turn, and so that's like the first note that kicks off this rest of this episode, which is like a crescendo. You're building up to this final scene, and this is where it peaks, and it was just such an awesome episode. You know, I don't even know how to put into words.
I think they're genius because they give you 100% Evil Dead. And the fact that you've got the Ramo cam, which makes you think Evil Dead. You've got the house at the beginning with the two state troopers, you know, the shutters shut. You've got the guy turning into himself. You've got him getting the chainsaw and the chainsaw and the shotgun at the end. You get everything you love in Evil Dead smushed in the first episode. I mean, any Evil Dead fan that doesn't like this, it's crazy.
Anybody who didn't like this.
Well,
episode.
any Evil Dead fan who doesn't like this, it's not an Evil Dead fan.
Exactly.
We're just gonna leave it at that. Like, I'm sure I'm going to get some nasty feedback for saying that, but I'm standing by it.
Nah, they wouldn't be listening.
Before we get to the very end of the episode, though, I just wanted to discuss what Deadite Vivian says. She says, it's time to test the mettle of man. So this is not going to be, it's like Em said, it's going to be a hellmouth. This is not going to be isolated to a cabin or to some distant point in the past that can be forgotten about or swept under the rug. This is going to be out in the open. There's going to be deadites everywhere. This is going to include a lot of people. There's going to be some carnage.
It's not going to be in Sunnydale. It's going to be in Michigan.
In Michigan. So at the very end, we finally get it. Everybody had probably been waiting for it the whole episode, but Ash finally comes out and he says, groovy, and that's it. This, if there was ever a television show that I was waiting for and had high hopes for, and it exceeded my hopes by a mile, this was it. There's been television shows that I've been waiting for that were good. They were as good as I thought they were going to be, like the beginning of Walking Dead, and a lot of Walking Dead, actually. But I won't get into that. This really just took the ball and ran with it, and I cannot say enough good stuff about it. It's the best TV that's on right now.
Yeah, well, we're lucky. We live in a time where TV, I think, is really come a long way. I think it's in some ways it's better than movies. People are taking it seriously. It's not just who's the boss, you know, anymore.
Yeah.
And fucking hee-haw. So I think it's just come so far, and you know, and we've covered some good shows in the last year, but man, I think this might have been my favorite thing we've started in a while. And just think, next year, before like the whole month of October, you could binge Evil Dead for a full month from the movies and the TV show. So once it's all done and said, it'll just be an awesome run to do every Halloween, you know?
I just wanted to reiterate on the women thing. If you've listened to us talk about the other three movies, we've kind of discussed on a surface level the lack of really strong female characters. And I understand some of that's from necessity, but Sarah Barry's turn as Annie in Evil Dead 2 was actually the only female character that really had some strength and substance to her.
Mm-hmm.
This 40 minutes alone introduced three characters that would kick your ass in a heartbeat. So this is going in a really positive direction in that sense. And, you know, I'm not some sort of gender equity, you know, crusader or anything like that, but I think it's a turn for the better. And I think it's only going to enrich the show. So
I agree.
Why aren't you a gender equity crusader?
Because I have hobbies and a life.
Just out of curiosity. Okay, so before we go into feedback, we need to ask you listeners to check out our website at noship.net. That's noship.net. Please, in particular, check out our support page. You will see there are various ways that you can help us support our podcast. Some of them actually do not cost you a cent. Our current goal is to cover the costs that accrue when we're producing these podcasts, and we have not even met that goal, not even close. So please, if you love No Ship, at least take a look and see what you can do to help us out.
Okay, so we also have a request podcast. If you go online to our site and you can see it, and what we'll do is a movie that you want us to do, however you want us to do it, you know, we'll talk about it. You'll get your money's worth. It'll be a couple hours long. A couple episodes of a TV show. You know, I think it'll be something that hopefully we'll take, because we enjoy watching movies and talking about them like we do shows. So check it out and give us a shot.
And I know we've mentioned it before, but our favorite way for you guys to show us support is to give us ratings on iTunes, because it sends more traffic our way, and to give us feedback on whatever podcast you're listening to. If it's active, even if it's not, you know, we'll read it at the appropriate time. But if, you know, some people have listened to us when we did, you know, Vikings, and we have this whole vibrant community of people who write in and talk to us, and then that carried over into Penny Dreadful, and we have the same thing, and then we have a completely different community for Sparkwood in 21, and I feel like we're going to have another completely different community for Deadite Bites, and it's exciting, and it's new, and we're about to jump into that community right now with feedback.
And, well, hold on. One last thing. I know you guys are ready for feedback, but by following us, feedback, and by, you know, giving us stars all incurs points. And if you've listened to us before, you know that I like to do a giveaway. I've already started it. It's Halloween. We've been watching the movie. So I'm doing this another piece. If you go at, to us on Twitter at noship.net, or just at noship, sorry. Or, and you go to my Twitter at Molten Forge, you can see recent winners and their pieces. So you'll get, you know, a little something from us just by doing that and being a part of the podcast. It's kind of like our way of giving back.
And we do really cool bonus podcasts right at the end of every season that we do a show. And they're really fun. If you're listening to this and you're thinking, what the fuck are they talking about? Tune in. You'll see.
Trivia with high stakes. Usually.
Yeah, high stakes. Somebody, usually me, has to eat something disgusting. And it's fun.
There's no telling what will bring this bonus pod.
A Deadite finger.
Some raw meat. Who knows? But next podcast, I'll have the point system broken down. I've got it somewhere written down. So we'll bring it. And just thank you for listening.
All right. So feedback time. And so first off, I'm going to pull from social media, which, as we start to get more feedback in through our Gmail account, I won't pull as much off of social media. So that's just so you guys know, we do prefer the format in Gmail. It's much easier to transfer. So Stephen Chandler, who wrote to us in, with Penny Dreadful, he just wrote a quick note to us on Facebook, and he said, "Can't wait to hear what you guys think. I mainly checked this out because I knew you guys were reviewing it and was pleasantly surprised. Nice to see horror comedy being done right."
Hell yeah. It was done well. Done very, very well.
It was perfect.
And thanks for checking us out. I appreciate it.
Yeah, I'm glad we were able to encourage you to check something out that you probably wouldn't have. And it turned out to be satisfying for you. So next up, we have Kane Shoddy Gray, who wrote this into Twitter. And he's at Dr_Shoddy. And he says, "So just watched Ash versus the Evil Dead. What an absolute barnstorming first episode. Loved how they threw in the nostalgia trip with the projection of the old movies behind him. There's no mention of the Army of Darkness because of the film rights. The comedy beats were fantastic, and it was like slipping on an old shoe. I'm hoping the next episode holds the same kind of tempo, and I'm looking forward to the rest of the season and where it will take us. Also, it's been commissioned for a second series, which is fantastic news. Hopefully they will do longer episodes with this, or even more episodes. One thing that I had a little niggle with was the use of CGI. In particular, the shot of the police lady shooting her partner, you could tell right away it was CGI model. That was my only gripe of the episode. In the words of Ash, groovy."
Well, he says it perfectly. It was like slipping on an old shoe.
And here was somebody with one vote against the CGI thing. And like I said earlier in the podcast, I can play devil's advocate on this. In principle, these guys have always been known as a production crew to go with practical special effects and not go the route of CGI, mainly because it didn't exist then. You know, it's kind of like a George Lucas thing. But I mean, when George Lucas was able to get a hold of CGI, look what he did. So let's just be thankful they kept it at a minimum. And, you know, it's
Jar Jar Binks.
Yeah. That's exactly, you know. I mean, could you imagine this episode if Jar Jar was in the background while the guy was crawling?
Ash would have killed him the first word he put out. Chainsaw.
All right, so our next piece of feedback comes from Anthony, who's coming over from our Sparkwood and 21 podcast. So he's he loves the Evil Dead movies, and he is writing in saying, "Hey, everyone, I've been loving your coverage of the Evil Dead trilogy, especially your Army of Darkness episode, which is my favorite film of the three. Just one thing. The film takes place in 1300, and King Arthur is said to have lived sometime around the late 500s and early 600s. So the Arthur in this film could not have been the same guy. Also, I believe this is taking place in Scotland, and it looks as there are warring clans between the one led by Duke Henry and the other led by Lord Arthur. But I don't even think the Raimi brothers cared all that much about historical accuracy. It looks like they just wanted a generic medieval European setting like The Princess Bride, which is perfect for this kind of movie. Are any of you Game of Thrones fans? I found it super interesting how the Hardhome episode from this last season seemed very inspired by the battle with the Deadites in this movie. In fact, I watched this with a friend of mine who had not seen either Army of Darkness or Game of Thrones. Afterwards, I showed him the Hardhome episode, and he couldn't believe how similar they were."
I'll have to check that out.
Have you? I haven't finished the last season of Game of Thrones.
So you've seen this episode that he's referring to then, the Hardhome episode?
Yeah. I can see the similarities, but now I need to go back with my Evil Dead goggles and compare them. Like, Watch each scene back to back. Because when I'm watching it, I'm thinking Game of Thrones. You know what I mean? So I have to pull them both up and watch them. But I love that there's a comparison. I mean, who would have ever guessed an Evil Dead and Game of Thrones comparison? Thank you so much.
To answer Anthony's question about, or his statement rather, about the timeline and it being, you know, King Arthur, it is King Arthur. So there. No, I'm kidding. I'm totally kidding. Well, I mentioned that. I take the blame for that. I mentioned that during our Evil Dead. I'm sorry, during our Army of Darkness coverage.
And it's not that big of a deal. I think they're trying to give you this impression or associate him with that, so you get this idea of his heroic, you know, characteristics.
Yeah. Right.
Oh, and it puts you in the mindset.
Right.
Because instantly, when you hear Arthur, you think medieval times.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So yeah, of course it's not accurate. It's not like there were Deadites back then either, you know?
I mean, true, yeah. Well, the reason why I'm taking blame for it is because I did bring that up. It did come out of my mouth on the Army of Darkness podcast. And the reason why it did is because I've gotten a lot of supplemental information to make these podcasts interesting from The Evil Dead Companion by Bill Warren. And at some point when he's discussing Army of Darkness, he's talking about Lord Arthur, and he says, King Arthur, perhaps? So I just kind of took that out of there, maybe thinking that because this person was so close to the people who created this trilogy, that maybe he had some insight, but I could have been totally in error with that. I don't honestly believe, like, you're absolutely right about the historical timeline. It just doesn't fit. So, you know, I don't honestly believe that it's him, but you bring up a good point. It does seem like it is in Scotland with the...
And then I don't think they ever even proved that Arthur existed, right? Am I wrong on that?
I've been listening to a great courses on it. And so, yeah, they think that his name probably wasn't Arthur. They can't prove that, even though strangely all of a sudden the name Arthur like just appeared and there was all these babies being named Arthur at the same time.
Yeah.
But there was a warrior leader who did man this particular battlement.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're linking it to that particular person during the Roman times in Britain.
Awesome.
Isn't a lot of like King Arthur literature not necessarily set in the 500s or 600s? I mean, there's so many different variations anyway on it.
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, it's a fairy tale.
Yeah.
You know, there's so many different stories. I mean, look at in the last 30 years, how many times it's been redone.
Yeah. So many people have taken license with the story of King Arthur, and it's just another way to do it. And then so Anthony finishes his email by saying, I thought the premiere episode of the new series was great. There were so many things to love about this. It really captured the feeling of the previous movie. The only problem I had was the CGI. It doesn't stack up against the special effects in the trilogy. I was wondering how you felt about that. It's only a minor quibble, as I can't wait for the rest of this season. Cheers, Anthony.
Well, thanks again for sending in.
Yes, thank you, Anthony.
Great feedback. It's always a pleasure. I didn't even think we were going to get feedback. It's awesome.
I thought we were going to get feedback. I just didn't think we were going to get feedback from anybody who had been following Sparkwood in 21.
Speaking of, John had the option of either watching Ash versus the Evil Dead or sleeping, and he chose sleeping. So we're not getting any feedback this time from him.
From who?
John Bernardi.
Oh. All right, next time, John. Next time.
Anyway.
But we won't reiterate the whole CGI versus practical effects thing because we've already said our piece on it. So just refer back to that.
Well, he already heard it.
And I mean, we've touched the special effects this whole thing. I mean, yeah, the special effects weren't as good as some of the other effects in the show. But, you know, you're on a budget and who cares? The rest covered it so much. I honestly didn't even notice until people brought it up. So it's like, to me, it's a minor thing. I mean, there was so much more there that I was like a kid on a roller coaster or in a candy shop, just like every 2 seconds there was something new, you know?
I only noticed it in the way I've already said, so I'm reiterating, but I just thought, oh, that reminds me of Spartacus is all I thought. I didn't think that's terrible or anything, but, you know, I am primed by Spartacus. There were so many people who couldn't even watch all of Spartacus because they couldn't deal with the type of special effects and the nudity and all that stuff. And you know,
the amount of dicks that were in it.
Get ready, guys. This is David Ray. And David Ray has written into our Penny Dreadful podcast. So now he's writing into this one. And he says, hey, guys, I just watched the pilot for Ash versus Evil Dead. And I got to say, holy shit, that was groovy. I would have watched it on Halloween night. But like I said, I was at the Marilyn Manson concert in Biloxi. Man, was that show awesome. Anyway, I found the pilot to be all that I thought it would be and more. That was the fastest 43 minutes I've ever experienced. The comedy mixed with great horror elements worked perfectly, and I'm so glad that Starz decided to re-up the series for a second season already. Just wanted to make a couple of observations about some of the scenes. That chick Ash was banging in the bathroom was smoking hot. She might have turned real ugly real quick, but she was already in the right position. I'd have just broken the mirror and kept going.
Oh, hell.
I'll give you this. She's an attractive woman, but as far as breaking the mirror and keep going, she's attractive in that kind of like a
road warrior way. Call it apocalypse chic.
Yeah. Apocalypse chic.
Apocalypse chic. Yeah, deadite chic.
Dead-eyed chic.
I think she's hot enough for what Ash was going after, which was the last girl at the bar at the last 10 minutes the bar was open.
Well, that's what my coworker today said. He saw the trailer or saw something to do with it because he didn't even know we were doing the podcast on it yet. And he was like, man, you know, it looks good. I just saw a quick part of where he's having sex with her and the thing. And she turns into it, and he's like, well, would you finish? And I was like, I don't think I could, man. I mean, she turned into a fucking demon. I don't think he'd work at that point.
That's probably an instant boner killer. I mean,
probably. Yes.
Ash was, well, I'm just going to go out on a limb here and say that it is. But
well, it's hard to be the king.
Yeah.
So David Ray's next point. I found the part where Ash was reading from the Necronomicon while high to be very plausible. I've done equally stupid things while sober and trying to get laid.
That's a good point.
Share those with us.
Yeah, yeah. Don't be afraid. Kick some of those down our way. We'll read them on air.
Careful what you ask for.
I don't know if I would have done that, but it seemed like it was very in keeping with Ash's character to do something like that.
I would have burned the Necronomicon, for Christ's sake. Just saying, burn it.
I don't know. I think I would have held on to it. I would.
That's because you're sick.
I would read it. I would like read it in the tub, maybe, you know, what? But I don't think that. Yeah, I just wouldn't have went that route. With what he's
I could just see you like in the tub and it slips
and then all the
and goes in
water turns red.
And I'm not I'm not reading the Necronomicon with my bird out. You know what I mean?
Oh, that's a little dangerous. That's a good point. Yeah.
Your bird?
Yeah.
My bird.
He's talking about his wiener.
Okay, we're digressing. Okay, so David Ray says, that scene in the house with the two state cops was out fucking standing. Great horror elements there, and from the previews, it looks like we can expect more of the same. His next point, why the hell is Randy Travis doing yard work in a trailer park? I did like it when he got his head blown off in Ash's cabinet later on.
Randy Travis.
It's pretty good.
Lucy Lawless, still hot.
Yes, 100%.
What the hell happened to S-Mart? Value Stop? What the fuck? Shop Smart? Shop Value Stop? Doesn't fucking work. Nor does it appear that they even sell shotguns. This just won't do.
Well, we speculated on it earlier, and there's any number of theories floating around. S-Mart could be part of Universal's package of trademarks, so they couldn't use it. So they use Value Stop. In a more plausible, like, let's explain it in the real world thing, it could be that one turned into the other, one purchased the other.
Yeah.
And
they might sell shotguns. We saw light bulbs, TVs, and kids' toys.
Yeah.
There might be a shotgun department. Maybe they took Ash off it for a reason.
Maybe we'll see it next episode.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was probably back there cleaning the guns, going, ooh, baby, you know, like one after another.
That little doll was great. Makes me wish my daughter was still young enough for me to buy her one just so I could look at it and laugh. That's right. David Ray is our laugh and laugh and laugh commentator.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yes. I remember that.
Old clips integrated into the show as a storytelling aid was very cool. Hope that continues. There has to be some flashbacks to Army of Darkness. Don't hold your breath, it sounds
yeah,
like.
Yeah, don't hold your breath until Universal comes off those rights. Kind of sucks, but hopefully he can...
They might eventually.
Hopefully he can just at least talk about it and be like, well, there was a time...
Well, I never understood why they don't do that, because all they're doing by bringing all that stuff up is also promoting the product.
Right.
Exactly.
So it doesn't make sense to me, but we're not in the offices of Universal, so who knows?
Well, who's the genius? Who's the genius? We have a hit show that's already been greenlit for a season two before the first episode even airs, and they're saying, no, you can't mention our product in that show. It's going to be too popular. We don't want people to go buy DVDs and digital downloads of Army of Darkness.
Exactly.
Bottom line is that this was a shitload of fun. Here's to the next episode, David Ray.
Amen.
P.S.
Hell yeah.
P.S. I met Bruce Campbell back in 2013 at a horror convention here in New Orleans. He is really cool in person.
Whoa.
Well, we were there,
we
too,
were there.
David Ray.
That was Mad Monster Party Gras.
Yeah.
We were at, Em and I were at that same fucking convention. We met him, too.
One of you guys were standing in line and never knew you were next to each other.
Maybe.
Ooh. We even stayed at the hotel that they had the convention in.
Hey, did you go to the, what's his name? Sons of Anarchy?
Oh, Ron Perlman?
Did you go to the Sons of Anarchy panel when Ron Perlman was there? Because Steve asked a question that was pretty funny. If you did, let us know. Okay. Okay, so our next email is from Alec Rader, who wrote in to us for our Army of Darkness podcast. The subject is Ash versus Evil Dead. Hail to the King, baby. Hey, M, Steve, and Paul. This episode knocked my socks off. I felt it was a fantastic series premiere, but maybe came in a little under the expectations I had after watching the Ash vs. Evil Dead trailer over and over again. That's just the curse of having an incredible trailer, I guess. For me, the main thing that worked about this episode was Bruce Campbell's return to the role of Ash. He was laugh-out-loud funny the entire episode, which I felt got off to a perfect start. The first few scenes pulled me in, and I felt gave a great introduction to the character of Ash, just exactly what his life has become, and the kind of tone we can expect from the rest of the series. I laughed out loud as Ash decided to finish having sex with a girl he picked up at the bar right after she went all dead-eyed on him, when his boss at the Value Stop asked him if he was going to use his fucking lizard as an excuse to get out of work again, and so many other times throughout the episode. I think my favorite line was his response to Kelly telling him if he ever touched her again, he'd need a new wooden hand. another wooden hand to replace my wooden hand, or another wooden hand to replace my real hand? Campbell handled everything so well throughout this episode, and you could really tell he was having fun with it. I have to say, though, that I do have a few problems with the way Raimi handled certain aspects of the this episode. The introduction of Pablo and Kelly felt way too rushed for me. One second you had no idea who they were, and the next second Ash was telling Pablo his entire history with the Necronomicon and the Deadites. Just a few minutes after Ash insisted he was running away and going alone, he said that he couldn't run anymore. Seemed to make Pablo and Kelly his new sidekicks and took up his destiny. I really do like these new characters and feel the actors that portray them did a good job in this episode, but I really want them to get a better introduction and a little more personality. Right now, Kelly feels barely developed at all past the desire to keep her dad safe, and Pablo feels more like a personification of Ash's conscience and morality than a real character. Hopefully they will both have their time to shine in the future. The other problem I had with the episode was how the use of CGI in some shots looked very obvious and out of place. This stood out to me in the scene with the doll that attacks Ash, and also at the end, both when Pablo kicked the chainsaw to Ash and when Ash beheaded the grandma. Being a huge fan of the movie series' use of practical gore effects, I was especially surprised by some of the CGI gore, but I understand they are on a time crunch and probably need to focus a lot of effort all around instead of on one particular shot to keep the quality as high as it is. I also don't know the kind of budget they have to work with, which might be one of the reasons for the slightly lackluster CGI. Finally, I just want to say that I loved Ash being the cause of the Deadites returning. Ash getting high and reading out of the Necronomicon to impress a girl just felt so in line with what we've seen from the movies. I've had a few issues with it, but overall, I would give El Jefe a solid 8.5 out of 10. I can't wait to see where Raimi and Campbell are going to take us in the future episodes and to hear what you guys have to say about it. I also wanted to say I have been pleasantly surprised to see that the overall critical reception of this episode has been very strong, with a 97% on Rotten Tomatoes from critic reviews and a user average rating of 4.6 out of 5. Nice to see people really appreciating something like this that I feel would normally be not as critically respected. Anyways, those are my two cents. I said the words, maybe I didn't say every single little tiny syllable, no, but basically I said them, yeah. Cheers, Alec.
Awesome. Awesome.
Thank you, Alex.
Thank you, Alec.
Absolutely.
Just to address it, we've already talked about CGI. So as far as the character introductions being rushed, I have to disagree. I feel like they were fast, but they were done out of necessity. But I didn't feel as though, like, there's a history between Pablo and Ash. That this guy's been looking up to him for a while. They've been working together for a while. You know, he mentions about how Kelly can be part of their team whenever Ash wants to go take a nap or not show up or call out sick or just do his other shenanigans and kind of cover for him or whatever. So this has been going on for quite some time.
And there's a hidden mystery about him.
Yeah, and there's a mystery about it. But with Kelly, yeah, you had a quick introduction to her character, but I never felt like any of this was forced. I never felt like it was shoehorned in. It moves at a crisp pace and everything falls in line like it should. So,
and we'll get more on these characters. I just think personally that it was them just giving us like every Evil Dead fan the Evil Dead first episode that we would appreciate. You know, we'll get more. They drop little clues throughout the show of different things that could be going on. We talked about it. So, you know, hey, I agree with Steve. I think everything felt right.
Yeah, there was points where it was fast, but it's right. It's like it's firing all on all cylinders, and each one goes in succession, like da-da-da-da-da. So there you have it. But I'm glad you liked it as much as we did, or almost as much as we did, because you gave it an 8.5. I don't know how I feel about that, but honestly, because this one just shot off the scale for me.
Oh, me too, man.
Well, I mean, it's nice to have another opinion that's, you know, counterweighting ours, so it's good. And it's not that much of a counterweight.
Yeah, and I mean, I'll just leave it at that.
We don't hate you for it.
Yeah, that's what we're trying to say. We like dissenting opinions here at No Ship Network.
But we don't encourage them.
Yeah, well, yeah, because I mean...
So do you guys want to do any speculation, or you just want to stop right here and go into spoiler section? Because I think Steve has spoilers.
It's just real quick spoilers.
I say we go into spoilers because I think speculation could go anywhere at this point.
Yeah,
you know,
I agree.
He's gonna kill some fucking deadites. There you go.
I think we've already speculated throughout the
just recap. Like Clubber Lang says in Rocky III, I predict pain. That's all.
Yes.
Okay, spoiler section. If you are not wanting to be spoiled by the little mini spoilers that I've got, then turn us off right now. And thank you for listening. If you're still here with us, we're in the spoiler section. Em and I watched a thing on, it was just a little YouTube video clip of everybody, not everybody, but most of the people responsible for the creative concepts and the execution behind Ash vs. Evil Dead at, what was it, San Diego Comic-Con?
Mm-hmm.
Earlier this year, and
which was linked to us by Kane Shoddy Gray.
Yes, thank you for that link. So this is not going to be spoilery to him, but Lucy Lawless was introduced as Ruby Noby, and if you remember your history in Evil Dead 2, that would make him some sort of kin to, or that would make her some sort of kin to Professor Noby, who was the one who was in possession of the Necronomicon and had it at the cabin. It was Professor
Nice.
It was his cabin in the first place. So whatever her motivations are, like when you go to IMDb, she's only listed as Ruby, but they introduced her at the Comic-Con because they like to do such things there as Ruby Noby. So there's going to be some sort of follow-up. She's going to be holding Ash accountable to something. You know, she's probably thinking that this is my guess at any rate. And also, this isn't very spoilery, but there's two actors on the IMDb page that play Kelly's parents. Mm-hmm. And they've been they're on three episodes of this season. So there's going to be a story arc, and her mom is played by Mimi Rogers.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So that's something to look out for, too. So it's not just going to be, you know, they can kind of put off going to her mom's house or going to her dad's house for a little bit, because apparently Mimi Rogers is going to be in a human incarnation, at least for a little bit, I'm assuming.
Oh, wow. Maybe we'll get some flashbacks.
Yeah, maybe it'll be flashbacks instead. Who knows?
Mm-hmm. Maybe there's more to, awesome. More to Kelly than, you
yeah.
know. Because, I mean, the Deadites seem intent on her, like I said. But then I think we're going to get some stuff about Pablo, too, because there's, I think, an episode called Brujo.
His mm-hmm. uncle.
Yeah.
Awesome. And he said his uncle was a shaman, too, mm-hmm. right? Nice.
Well, I think that's the Mexican word for, or I'll say that's the Spanish word for, it's either Spanish or Mexican, I don't know, because there's probably a difference in dialect.
Just Latin?
The Latin American term.
For what, though? For what word?
Brujo is shaman. So that's what I was just saying. That's what he means when he calls his uncle.
But it was a relative of his that was the shaman.
Yeah, it was his uncle. We're spinning here, so let's just wrap it up.
Yes.
But so anyway, that's all I had for spoilers. Not too much, and people who are really into the show probably already knew everything I said, but you know, I know some people like to go into it clean and come out of it clean every episode, so I didn't want to ruin anything for anybody. I just ruined it for Paul, though. Wow. So
I don't know if you ruined it for me. I think that doesn't feel spoilery to me. That's more of like a
deepening of
nice
your knowledge.
Butter on some bread. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's how I felt too, but I felt like it was better to keep it in a spoiler section just in case.
Totally agree.
Yeah. All right, so that's it for the spoiler section, right? Anything else?
So that's it for this episode, El Jefe, and we'll be looking forward to next week's episode, and we will see you then. Join us.
We'll talk to you next time. If you want to write feedback, go to noship.net and click on our contact page, and that will direct you to the various ways you can reach us. All right.
I am your host, Steve.
I am your host, Em.
And I'm your host, Paul.
Hail to the king, baby.
Yeah, thanks for listening to the Value Mart of Deadite Podcast.
Value Mart of
Podcast.
We're
the value stop of Deadite. Yeah. We're the value stop of Ash versus Evil Dead Podcast.
We're the bargain podcast.
That's right. You get more bang for your buck, goddammit. Or gosh darn it.